This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This time of year, we like to spend some of our programs checking on what's going on in Salem because the Oregon State Legislature is in session. State Senator David Brocksmith, one of those joining us frequently. David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it. And welcome from your Capitol office in Salem.
So now that lawmakers are settled in, is the pace of the work kind of picking up?
It is. As we talked about before, in the first couple of weeks, we'd had informational hearings, but now bills are starting to come through committee. As you know, I did not go through all the bills this week. It was my father's memorial back home on Saturday. And so I just didn't have the time to dedicate to read all the legislation for the week, but we'll be picking that up as soon as we can.
So at what point in the process does legislation start getting across the table, or is that up the road a ways?
No, it's happening now. House bills are coming over to the Senate starting today. We moved and voted on five bills on the Senate earlier. I just got off the floor. Mainly some just cleanup bills and for legislation with regards to probate and some other pieces of legislation for DHS and so forth. So there hasn't really been anything too crazy. They did have a public hearing on a bill that I flagged. And luckily, Leader Bonham, who is the vice chair of the Labor and Business Committee in the Senate, pushed hard so that there's more input. But essentially, the unions of the state are attempting to pass legislation that would allow them to double dip with in regards to unemployment insurance, which is not something that would work very well for our schools, especially considering if the individuals go on strike, they would, of course, be compensated with their pay, but then be eligible for unemployment if the legislation moves forward, which then would be a burden on the district that's not budgeted. So we're pushing back pretty hard on that this week, as it's essentially an unfunded mandate for a lot of our public employers.
Now, is the GOP able to make an impact, or do you think they will this session, given the ratio of Democrats to Republicans?
Well, I mean, we are in a super minority, right? The Democrats of the state allowed for there to be one more Democrat in the House to make 36. And one more Democrat in the Senate to make 18, well, two technically. And so we're in a situation where, being in a super minority, Democrats, if they band together, raise taxes. But we've been very critical of those decisions. I mean, if you remember the campaigns that we were talking about, we were pushing that, you know, the majority party in this state has more than doubled the budget in the last 12, 14 years, and it's never enough. And in doing so, they've increased taxes across the board. You know, the corporate activities tax that they passed in 19 was supposed to shore up education, but yet we see statistics to where more money has been spent on education, but yet our scores for individuals continue to fall. The big issue in this session will be the transportation package. We passed the majority party passed a transportation package in 17 that was supposed to raise billions of dollars, and there was promises that individual projects would be moved forward, which some did. In regards to the Scottsburg Bridge, for example, and yet others did not. And so now they're already coming back to the trough net mere 7-8 years later. And so we're very concerned. But again, that will take a 3/5 majority vote to raise taxes. The Democrats do have a 3/5 majority in both chambers. But I think where the governor has an issue is there's not enough. She hasn't sold her own party, her own Democrats, on sticking together and voting for those. And so I believe we do have not only the ability to push back on these things as we continue to expose the misspending and misallocation of these resources, but also the ability to create relationships across the aisle and have those conversations with colleagues that how certain pieces of legislation are going to impact my residents in Douglas, Coos, and Curry counties. And, you know, if it's the Democrats want to raise the gas tax, we have a higher proportionate of lower income families, especially in Curry County, that have to travel farther distances for less expensive goods and services. You know, folks that live in Port Orford need to go to Coos Bay and so forth, and that's an hour round trip. Usually they're driving older model vehicles, they get less mileage, and if gas continues to increase, it's going to hit their pocketbook. More importantly, the transportation costs to get those goods, for example, or materials from the Port of Portland or the orchards in the Dalles, so that apple is more expensive in Brookings than it is in Oregon City, because just the sheer transportation costs associated with getting it down there. So it impacts folks across the board, and so we'll continue to push back on the narrative that, you know, this tax and spend narrative, when we've, again, more than doubled, and I say we, the majority party, has more than doubled the budget in the last 12 to 14 years.
What are the top things that you are working on right now?
I'm working on with Representative Osborne on fixing the wildfire maps and mess that was created back in 2021. It's something that I've been working on for years because I had actually had the competing legislation in 2021. We had the piece of legislation in 2020 that came forward. It was actually four pieces. I created a work group and we had an omnibus bill. Of course, I was also on the front lines and stopping cap and trade at the time and helping lead our Republicans in doing that. Of course, that piece of legislation died in the 2020 session with many of everything else. And so I brought it back in 2021 and had a competing bill against Senator Golden's 762. Both made it down to Ways and Means. Of course, the majority party Democrat moved their piece of legislation, which is really impacting Oregonians. And so both... we need to stress that those that are and have received the letter from the Oregon Department of Forestry need to just fill out the information for their appeal and send it in. It does not have to be extensive. They do not need to spend resources to hire an attorney. They just need to get their letter in the queue prior to March 10th. It's critically important. Because I've tried to push back the date, but it's set in statute, so I cannot. And currently working with my colleagues to unwind what was set in statute with that legislation. So I'm hopeful that that we'll be successful, but it's still critically important that those individuals that are in and have received that letter fill out the appeal, get it in the queue.
And, of course, a meeting about that coming up later this week on Saturday afternoon.
Yes, sir. It is.
All right, State Senator David Brock Smith. We're going to take a break when we come back. More on Inside Douglas County, the interview and podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It's 1245, the News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow we talk about an effort underway in the city of Myrtle Creek to move forward. We'll be talking with Mayor Matthew Hald and also City Administrator Lonnie Rainville about that new initiative. A number of public meetings are going to be scheduled in the near future. Live from Salem, State Senator David Brock Smith on with us. One thing that I've been curious about watching all the national news and the back and forth going on in Washington, D.C., got all these changes, some of them quite rapid, in the nation's capital, impact funding to projects in Oregon in the near term or maybe even up the road.
And we're watching this as well. I am happy with President Trump and the fraud, waste, and abuse that has been and continues to be exposed. But there is there are federal grant dollars that do flow to the states and to Oregon that do fund various various projects, and so we are keeping. It's a very fluid situation, so we're keeping a close eye and monitoring emails that come to our office in regards to anything that might be impacted by that, and in conversations with, of course, our Congresswoman Val Hoyle, as well as Congressman Bentz, and following all of that closely.
Now, one of the areas I wondered about, too, and maybe you can give us an update on the status of a potential veterans home on the Roseburg VA campus.
Yeah, so again, the $35 million that we were able to secure in the 24 session that is critically important, and the 65% match, or excuse me, the 35% match of the state is still secure. Problem is it's only secure until the end of this budget cycle, and so it is, again, my priority that funding be continued and that we make sure that it is carried over with interest to keep up with the inflationary costs in the 25-26 biennial budget of the state. I know that it's a priority of all of my colleagues as well. And the interest is critically important. As everyone knows, we've set aside our dollars, and I have to give a shout out to all of our veterans in Douglas and Coos and Curry counties in Southwest Oregon that has been so supportive. And Director Daniels of ODVA, they've done yeoman's work in making sure that we did move to the Tier 1 status that was necessary to be on the list. Excuse me. In D.C., and so I am grateful for that, and now I'm hopeful, and we continue the full court press on the federal level with our delegation to make sure that in a future federal funding bill that we include the funding on the federal level for the match so that we can start that project, and it's, again, one of my top priorities.
And, of course, there had been the hope that from the federal level by the end of the calendar year of 24, that it had been would get attached to legislation or probably other legislation or an omnibus spending bill or something like that. And that just didn't end up happening.
My understanding is it was attached. All of the Tier 1 homes were in the original. And this was my understanding in what I was able to gather back in October, November, that it was actually in the original Senate version. However, the House and some of the House members had concerns because, along with that and other things that were in that piece of legislation, it raised the debt ceiling, and so that it did not make it through the original federal funding bill.
And as we go forward on that, there's not really any idea at this point when that could happen on the federal side, correct?
No, we continue to advocate and again, with our delegation to make sure that it's a priority for them as it is for us. And I, again, appreciate all of the our veterans and our veterans advocates that are doing the same. We will continue to raise our voices up to make this make this priority a reality, as it's been promised for more than almost 15 years now.
As so many things are changing in society, how business operates, of course, is one of them. And we've seen shifts around the country as sometimes large and medium and even small companies move from state to state and decide to relocate or relocate part of their staff to another location. You've talked before about a business climate in Oregon. How do we work to increase a business, keep companies here, and attract new ones?
Look, elect more Republicans. And to be honest with you, Kyle, I mean, we're in a situation where Oregon is not business friendly at all. You have a full-on assault with, in fact, you look at the governor's Project Labor Agreement executive order that came out last month that really attacks our contractors across the board, from flagging companies to any general contractor, to folks that work on our roads and others, that if you do not have a project labor agreement and union folks, which 80% of the industry within these sectors do not, you can't bid on projects that have any state dollars. And it is egregious. It is a huge attack on essentially rural Oregon as well. And we continue to push back on the governor's executive order in doing this. There is broad support to repeal that EO as the governor wants to increase housing, but yet you're carving out 80% of the people that can build the housing. If there's even a dollar associated with it of state dollars, which the governor wants to put hundreds of millions of dollars into trying to assist in the workforce housing piece of the state, you're again carving them out. We did have a great public hearing in Finance and Revenue, Senate Finance and Revenue last week on a workforce housing bill of mine that actually is completely opposite to the whole mentality of let's invest public dollars in this housing, but it's because it's all about giving tax incentives to private business dollars that want to build housing. And in doing so, if they go ahead and build the housing, then and it's sold at a 120% or below area median income for the market value, then they're going to actually receive 50% of the cost of the land building and construction back in an Oregon income tax credit. And it's meant to just have those companies that need those types of tax credits, the multi-million dollar companies in our state, to go ahead and invest in that workforce housing to sell to our firemen, our teachers, and our servers across the state. It's pretty exciting. We need some technical amendments in the conversation, and I'm hopeful that we'll go ahead and move that forward in the next couple of weeks. I do want to say also, Kyle, we do have some investment in, back when I was a county commissioner many years ago, we stood up a program that assists our folks in manufactured homes that were built prior to 1980. And we're going ahead and trying to help with that. And then also Senate Bill 923, which is a bill that I've been working on with, of course, some community leaders from Douglas County on the opportunity to move forward with a multi-use recreational facility at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. So that we can, revamp and bring really a sports park there for use of all the residents, not only in Roseburg, but for Douglas County and their community. So we'll have a hearing up on that this week on Wednesday.
About a minute left. As you look at state agencies, are there any that you're particularly concerned with or want to make larger funding adjustments to?
Well, I'm always concerned with the DLCD, for example, the Department of Land Conservation and Development, because there's no development in the agency, and all they do is try to conserve and can never get to yes. I'm concerned about state parks They are an amazing agency that do so much with nothing coming from the general fund. So I'm concerned about their budget and how they make it affordable for one, for Oregonians to be able to use them, but you know, without having to increase costs, but still having to deal with maintenance. And I really think that I'm really concerned that ODOT needs its own Oregon DOSH to come in and really do a deep dive. Because as I mentioned earlier, you have a situation where they received billions of dollars in increased taxes, and yet it's never enough. And so we really need to look into that agency and comb through it before you even think about going to the citizens of Oregon and increasing their gas tax when so many are struggling to make ends meet. So.
All right, out of time for now. We'll check in again soon, live from Salem. Legislative Update, State Senator David Brock-Smith, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle. Have a great day.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.